Word of God, we're fixing to open to read and know that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and it's for our help, for our learning. And Father, I pray today that you'd help these frail lips say the right words at the right way, that God would be honored, Christ would be exalted, and the Holy Spirit be yielded to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Take your Bible and turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 through 7. But before I do, I want to read the first verse first and make some comments, and then we'll read the rest of it for the message. God says to Solomon, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." In other words, evidently there's coming a time when this flesh will be so loaded with infirmities and problems and things because of age, we can't do what our mind would like for us to do at times, like we could when we were younger. Now, as I read this way, it's called the call for young folks to be mindful about God while they are young. And it certainly seemed to emphasize that. But there's another angle of this that many scholars talk about, that I've looked at the last few weeks, and most Bible scholars will tell us that they say that this chapter is an allegory of old age too. So I guess you could say there should not be a time that we shouldn't remember days when we could give ourselves to the Lord first and foremost, but always give Him our best no matter where we're at. Amen? We think about age, and that has to do. Sometimes we have a different definition in what we think about age. I mean, a 5-year-old certainly can't think like a 98-year-old does. And yet you find that 5-year-olds do think, but they're not grown that much. I heard the story where there was a young boy, 5 years old, come from church one day. They'd been studying about Noah and the flood. And he came home, and Grandpa was there in the home eating dinner with that afternoon. And after the dinner, he walked up to his grandpa, and he said, "Grandpa," he said, "how old are you?" And Grandpa said, "Son, I'm 98 years old." And he lighted his eyes up, 98? You 98 years old? And he said, "Yes, I am." And he thought for a minute and looked at his granddad, and he said, "Grandpa, did you start out with 1, 2, 3, 4? And the grandpa smiled a little bit and said, "Yes, I did. I sure did." And the grandson couldn't believe that grandpa was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 anymore. He could believe he would be 98 years old. But he still looked at him with a frown on his face and said, "Grandpa, could I ask you another question?" He said, "Go right ahead, son." He said, were you on the ark with Noah?" And he said, Grandpa laughing, chuckled, he said, "No, son." He said, "I wasn't on the ark with Noah." And he looked at him again. He said, "But why didn't you drown then?" Well, it is the way you look at things. By the way, he was thinking logical from his standpoint, right? With a 98-year-old. So I'm saying to you, God wants us to understand that when you and I get saved, I don't care how old you are, you're just a child in the Lord when you get saved. So I don't want to take anything from this, because I'm sure he's talking about physical problems, which in turn comes with age. And it's a sign we're dying. And therefore, he tells us as we go further, he said simply this: when the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall cease because they are few, or strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they are few, that those that look out of the windows be darkened. And he said, and the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. He shall rise up the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I mean, here, get a little age on it. I don't have to get above the first ladder of round of a ladder now, my age. He said, fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street, or ever the silver cords be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheels broken at Citron. In other words, it can't be replaced. And I could go through these, but as I read these few verses of Scripture, I'm looking at something about life. And he goes through, and in this introduction, he talks about as we grew older, our arms become feeble, and our legs become weak, and our teeth began to fall out, and our eyes grow dim, and our voices grow fainter and crack some and get lower in sound. That's some of the things I didn't understand what happens, but there's something happens to the voice box in turn that your voice gets lower as you get older and sometimes harder to understand. Our ears hear less. Our sleep easily is disturbed. Our balance becomes unsteady. Our bones grow brittle. Our hair turns white. Some of it turns loose. The slightest trouble becomes great burdens to you and I in this life as we get older. Your heart begins to fail. Lonely days and lonely nights because of the way of life. Our minds begin to forget. Our minds become weaker, and there's many other changes we could go through. And here the Scripture teaches us, then shall the dust, he says in verse 7, then shall the dust return, notice, to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return it unto God whom gave it. So this body is going back to the dust, that's what it's talking about, when this comes to an end, and the spirit will go to God to be dispersed in the way he sees fit. And we know in the age of grace, as I've said weeks ago, he dispersed those in Christ one way, and he dispersed those outside of Christ another way. The one who's in Christ, the moment of death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Outside of Christ, then, of course, we see Luke 16, and there's a place called hell, and the rich man ended up there, and, of course, had a good message on that Sunday night a few weeks ago. So what the Bible is literally telling us, to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and as we grow older, we can see one great reason. For the older we become, the less we think about a lot of things. A lot of times we find we remember less, including our Creator. It's so easy to get so tied up in life that many times we forget who created us. Even the child of God forget who the one we're to be in contact with all the time. We are spiritually, but God likes for his children just to say some things once in a while to him. He likes for those to know, for us to know that he plays an important part in our lives. It is sad, but very few seniors, adults, ever become Christians in their latter years. And he entails even the older folks that they should be remembering God in their lives. It's sad, but a lot of folks, when they get older, do not get saved like they do when they're younger. It's not that they can't get saved, because I've had the privilege to lead some to the Lord. You tell me about my brother Williams years ago, 60 in his 60s, never heard the gospel plan given other than when Brother J.B. had given it to him, but he hadn't trusted Christ. And one day I was getting a haircut, and J.B. introduced me to him, and I asked him, would he like to be saved? And yes, and you've heard me say, Brother J.B., and I didn't close the barbershop until I led him to the Lord. And me and my wife led him to years later. And he went on to be with the Lord years later. What I'm saying, though, if a person denies and denies and denies, it's easier to deny God later than it was in the first few times. And so, therefore, you see that person becomes less and dull, more dull than they would to hear. As they live their young and middle years, they'll continue to live their last years. And if they have not believed in those younger middle years, the odds is doubtful that many will believe when they get to be older. Why? Because if a person heard the gospel many times from the time they're 20 years old to 75 years old, they've turned it down so much they actually believe God doesn't exist. And yet the Holy Spirit has power if a person will just give a chance for the Holy Spirit to open the door or introduce us to Christ who is the door. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the door, but also the key to the door. Therefore, it's he who we have to go through to get to have this eternal salvation that we're talking about. So therefore, he says we need to take some time to remember now that the Creator in the days of our youth, while the evil days come not, but the years draw nigh, when thou shalt, I have no pleasure in them. So my question to approach this, or my means of approach, is by a question, and asking this question this morning, what shall we remember about our Creator? And I have about 8 things I want us to look at. What is it that we should remember, whether it be old, young, or middle age? Because, ladies and gentlemen, remembrance can bring things to our mind. That's the reason we have communion, because God tells us to remember what happened on the day we got saved. Remember what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. And realize communion is a time when God says, stop everything, and the Holy Spirit reminds us that Christ and God the Father comes in our present when we have communion. And that's the reason he said, do it a certain way. He's in our midst when we have communion. When that cup is passed and we receive it, he sees all that's going on. And what he wants us to know, that's a time that he who lives in us is in our midst, because we're doing something that God said do. And in turn, it makes us remind us where we were at, what happened when we got saved. And that moment, from the time we're saved to that time, we find ourselves closer to God if we do what God said than we've been since we got saved. Because sin is literally confessed. And so here, and that's the reason I can't understand to save my life. God showed me many years ago that if I'm going to be in the presence of Almighty God, there are some things God requires of me. And I can't take it lightly. We come together as a family to have communion. God is in our midst. It's not that he's not there many times, but that's the time he says we are to do that in remembrance of him. And therefore, when he's in our midst, and I'm going to be a little more different maybe at that time, though I should be what I should be all the time, try a little harder. And I remember not too long ago someone making a statement, what would happen if some dignitary would come to your home? What would happen if the President of the United States would, all of a sudden, you get one day and security men come and say they want to visit your home? What happened if you'd hear somebody say one of the Prince of England was here and America, and somehow drew your name out of a pot, and he wanted you to come, want to come to your home, and these dignitaries came to settle down? What would you do? I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you knew any one of those would come in, you'd clean your house up better than you've ever cleaned it up. Why? Because someone with great importance is coming. You'd find yourself going in, and you, if you didn't have spick and span, you'd get it. You'd find everything as clean as possible. And you'd not meet. Yes, you would. It would thrill you to the place of someone like that who didn't know and had nothing to know, maybe in that case voted for. But they come to your home and they're going to visit you. You're going to have newsmen there. You're going to have hundreds of people there to see what's going on. You'd want yourself presented in a good way. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's greater than any man on this earth. And when we come together for him in our midst, don't tell me it should make a difference as we serve the living God, because he's not like man. He's greater than man. And so what I want to show is that what shall we remember in our Creator? First of all, he says, remember, our Creator is the only true God. Exodus chapter 20, but he's been going through that last few Sundays, 1 and 2. There is no other God but God of this Bible, who is our Creator. There is no other. He declares that. You can look into heaven, you look in the earth, anywhere you want to look, and you'll find no one who attributes God to anything else or anyone else. It's like the God of this Bible. He has a right to declare, I am God, and there's none other else. And I have to remember that, so I'm not looking to follow anyone else. Number two, you have to remember that our God is a God of love, John 3:16, a God of mercy, a God of grace, and he pardons for sin for those who come and receive Christ as their personal Savior. He forgives us our transgression and our sin when it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, his only Son. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's a gift to God, not of works, but by grace that we're saved. And then we see also number three, we are to remember that God is our Creator. We must never, please hear this, if you're born again, if not, you can have it today. We must never forget where God brought us from, because that's where we were at. And go to Ephesians 2 and you'll find Paul goes in great detail where we were outside of Christ. And now he's brought us to himself through the drawing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that God is our Creator. He brought us into being. John 3 and verse 6 teaches us that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He called us unto his family, whosoever will. He opens up and said, come. God so loved the world that he offers it to the whosoever will. He provides for our own and all of our needs. And we see that one of my life verses, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. My God should supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He protects us from Satan, the evil one. How do I know that? Because he tells us that in Jesus Christ we have safety. He tells us that he's the rock of safety. He tells us that he is the cleft that God hides us in until God can get us home. He helps us understand some things about life. If you turn to Exodus chapter 33 with me, I want you to look at something that would really bless your heart to understand about Moses and his life. He protects us from Satan. One day, God came and spoke to Moses. And the Bible says that he spoke to him face to face in 33 verse 11. But if you look in chapter 33, verse 20, he said, no man can see his face and live. And I have people say, well, that's a contradiction. One place he said he talks to him face to face. Other place, if he talks to him face to face, he'd be living. If Moses talked to God face to face, he'd be dead because God said, nobody can see my face and live. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, you better let the Lord help you understand some things. Did you know when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, he was talking face to face, but he was talking through a bush. Do you know when the Holy Spirit came and John saw him in John chapter 1 coming down when he baptized John the Baptist? When John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ, he said the Holy Spirit came as a dove. He didn't say the Holy Spirit was a dove. He came as a dove. What he's setting forth here, that Holy Spirit, hey, when God Almighty spoke to Israel from the top of the mountain, they heard his voice that was speaking person to person. They were seeing him in essence, but they didn't see his face. The reason why you and I, in our condition right now in this body, would probably die with a heart attack if we see his face. He's holier than we are, even though we are, have the him living in us. But there's a hindrance with this body of flesh. And so what you see, he tells Moses he's going to bring him, let him bring him up to the land. And Moses asked him the question about would he help him. And he even said, but I'll go before you. Read this. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. In verse 15, he said to him, if thy presence go not with me, Moses said, carry us not up. God said, I'll go with you. I'll send an angel before you, and he'll take you in. And he said, if you don't go up with me, God, don't let me go up so much. And then he says, I will be with you. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 7, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then he says, I beseech thee, Moses said, show me thy glory. Boy, he must have had a good relationship with God, hadn't he? Because you think he's tempting God to some degree. But notice, and he said, I will make all thy goodness pass from me. And so forth. And I'm going to be gracious to you. In verse 20, I'm just paraphrasing quickly. He said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a rock by me. Listen, Moses. There's a rock by me, and thou shalt stand upon that rock. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen. He had to go where the rock was at and stand on the rock for God to begin his process of showing him. We have a rock. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you look down about chapter 10 and verse 4, you find the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is our rock. He said, you stand on that rock. And he said, when you stand on that rock, I'm going to do this, Moses. I'm going to come by. In verse 22, and it shall come to pass when my glory passes by that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. He said, but I'll take my hand at my hand, and thou shalt take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I'm talking about he protects us, and yet he lets us see something. And if you've ever seen a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the actuality of a life, you've seen it here. He's saying that you're going to stand by the rock, and when you do, I'm going to let you see me, my glory. But you can't see me with your eyes as they are in the way you are, but when I come by with my glory, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And when I put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll put my hand where you can't see nothing except my back. And when I pass by, you'll see my back and you'll not see my face. What he's telling you and I in this life now, even if you're saved, you can't see it without being saved. God is letting us know that we have a rock that we're standing on. Not only that, we're hid in the clefts of the rock till God gets us home. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to not make it or not. We can't see God except in His glory in this place. But I want to tell you that in Revelation chapter 24 and 22 and verse 4, God says there's coming a day that you and I are going to see Him with our face. Not just through faith. We're going to see Him with our faith. And He protects us till we get home on the other side to look in His face and realize that what we have served by faith, now we see by sight. Bless His holy name, because that's where we're going, folks. Amen. That's where we're going. And here we see, remember that. Remember what I promised you. Remember what I've done for you. Remember and realize whatever happens in this world, Satan is powerful, but he's not all powerful. Remember who you are. Remember what I did for you. One day we'll see His blessed face, because He promised it here. He said, Moses, you can't see my face now. You just see the glory I'll let you see, but it's hid from you. And what we see now is the glory of God. Has been saved, the promises, His reality. We must not forget that. And that's what happens when we come to where the Word of God's preached, ladies and gentlemen. It's reminded us who we are, what God has done for us, and what we should be doing until we get home on the other side. So He protects us from Satan, the evil one. He blesses us with uncountable blessing. He indwells us and continues to guide and teach us and shape us in the likeness of His Son, Psalm 17, 15. He owns us. And by rights, has a right to rule us. But He lets us make the decision whether we want Him to serve Him or not serve Him as a child of God. 1 Corinthians 19, 6, verse 19 and 20 tells us that we are not our own. So remember that God is our creator. Number four, remember why God created us. We were made to glorify God and bring honor to Him. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed in your mind. We show His grace in our salvation. We show His power over evil in 1 John 5, 1 through 5. He talks about if you save and have Christ, you have power over evil. He shows us that we have power over the evil one. If you look in 1 John chapter 4, and I love this verse. It'd be good to read a lot of times in life when you face things in this life. He says in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1, he talks about the enemy, and he talks about the spirit of Antichrist and the fighting of what we have to fight. And he says, already in the world on that particular day, the marks of false teachers that's coming on the scene, there'd be more in the latter days. In verse 4, he said, you are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. God, we must remember that it's God who created us. We must remember it is God who birthed us into this world through procreation. In His method, it is God who birthed us into the family of God through the new creation. And then I realized, he's number five, he said, remember, we're not worthy to even live. Did you know that? There's nothing in us that's good enough for us to say God ought to take us on our merit. If He had, He'd have done that. He took us on His merit. I'm so glad I see that. Every one of us has transgressed God's law countless number of times. Many have ignored His grace. Many have ignored His mercy. Many have trampled on His dear Son and the blood under their feet, and yet He'll turn around and save their soul just as quick as anybody else if they'll receive Christ as Savior. We all deserve God's wrath. Ephesians 2, verse 2, down and also down verse 11 through 13, He tells us what God had said, where we were at, and yet God received us. And we are God's little children and have overcome this world, because greater is He that's in this world that in us than in this world. Number six, he says, remember what our Creator, the Holy God, Lord God, has done for us. Remember. What should I remember, preacher? Remember what He's done for us. Remember what that He has continued to do for us as far as since we've been saved. We could have never, listen to me, we could have never been saved had it not been for God loving us enough to plan and send His Son to come and die for us. We could have never been saved if His Son had not agreed to come. And by the way, He did. God did not force His Son to come. He came because He wanted to. He laid down His life for you and I. I'm talking about something we must not never forget. in these last days when we hear everything hitting us bomb barrel in every way possible of things that what people believe, we better get back center on the cross, because it's on the cross is the method that God brought about where you and I could be saved. And Jesus Christ is the power and the source of that. He's the door and he's the key to the door. In fact, he's the arena where eternal life is at. And he teaches us we could have never been saved had not God, the Son, come into this world in human flesh and took our place on Calvary and lived for us and then died for us in as our substitute on the cross and shed his blood. And I have to be reminded of that, that where it was satisfied, God's righteousness, now I could not attain for myself. Now God has established a righteousness that in Jesus Christ, when he's received appropriate like he should be, as far as the scriptures is concerned, God reaches down in mercy and saves our soul. We could never have been saved had not God the Holy Spirit came to us and brought the gospel, which is the avenue that we get to Christ, to through Christ to God, and reveal that Jesus Christ has come and bought us and told us about his death burial and helps us see the truth and gives us the record that we have, that we might, in the last moment of his call, to come to him as Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. And the Holy Spirit Christ come when the gospel is given out. And then when we come, he'll not force us to come. He won't dictate to us to come. He'll give us the information, lay it out, the record. And when you and I look at the record, believe the record, and then let the Holy Spirit draw us to the Lamb and reach out and receive Christ as our Savior, he will save our souls. He did save mine, didn't he? I'm not ashamed of that, folks. Never will be ashamed of it. Sometimes I get intimidated at times because you get around people who have more than you by yourself and get around some folk. It's not long before you realize they gang up on you. And they will if you try to talk about the Bible much. But on the other hand, you'll find the Holy Spirit will still guide us in the direction that we need to go. So, and remember that we are privileged to be a part of God's family. We are privileged the fact that we know him as our Savior. We are privileged that God teaches us that we are appointed priests in parts of God's holy nation in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. Jesus Christ himself is the one that makes that possible. We remember that we are privileged to be part of God's family and also understand that it's a birth. It's not joining anything. It's a birth. Joining anything, if you can join it, you can join out of it. But brother, when you birth, that's permanent. The only way I can get out of this physical life is go through the exodus of death, and God predetermined that. So when I got birthed in the physical life, I'm here until death calls me home, out of this life. And the same thing is there, born child of God. I'm glad it's a birth, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a process that someone possibly could deviate from what the end results are. Remember also the eighth one is that God is still merciful. God is still good. God is still gracious. To all of those who have come to him and seek him, even the senior years of one's life, God will save that person when he or she calls upon the Lord, anytime, any place, anywhere. But I'll tell you this, he won't save them unless they do. He just won't do it. It amazes me through the years, and I talked to someone recently, I guess one of the greatest times of seeing people saved that I've seen in my lifetime was probably the 60s, 70s, and early part of the 80s. It seemed like just about every time you had service, somebody would get saved just about. And I've seen most of the time a lot of revivals who preach salvation in the sense of revival, large revivals where thousands tended in those days. There was always the preaching of gospel, the cross, and Jesus Christ. Now they fill arenas everywhere and they talk about everything except that. Jesus Christ is a sugar man in heaven willing to give anything as long as you trust him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God has a right to require of us what he requires. And this Bible has not changed, even though we live in the age we have today. So we need to remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11. But senior adults should also remember the goodness of God. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, God requires us. You say, why would he say that in younger days? Because God requires us to give him our first. The world don't like that. God requires that. God always asks for the first. If you look at the tithe, you find out that God says to give the tithe 10% up front. He teaches us, ladies and gentlemen, that the firstborn of the man and the beast is mine in Exodus 13. verse 1 and 2. He teaches us that the first day of the week for the church in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, is to lay on the first day of the week. The first day of the week was God's. To give, to worship for the purpose, replace the Sabbath as the Old Testament. He also tells us in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19, as we, Brother Munder's in there this morning, he tells us that, listen, that we are to give him the first fruit of the land. God says the first is mine. That's mine. The tithe's mine. The fruit of the womb is mine. Fruit of the land is mine. It's the first fruits we're to give. Some people say, I don't like that. I know. He didn't say, get 10 lambs and then give me one of the 10. That would be 10%, wouldn't it? But God didn't say that. You know why? It's obvious. If we had 10 lambs and give God one out of the 10, we'd give the least one, the worst one. We say, well, you know, God's got enough already. I'll just give him this one and have the rest and I'll make money. See, God knew how we were, even though we know him and walk with him. He knew the flesh will make decisions for us sometimes because we don't allow the Spirit to overrule. So what he's saying, the first is mine. You just don't take 10 and then you take 10 lambs and then give me one of the 10 because more than likely because of the flesh would give him the least one. But he said, mine's the first one. I don't have a bit of problem with that. Do you? We shouldn't have. See, God says he is to be first. Why shouldn't he? Ladies and gentlemen, you and I cannot do anything to redeem ourselves. No way in this possible we could do that. Remember what we receive from him, our daily needs, our breath, our life, our hope, our salvation, our righteousness, or his righteousness. Let us set our mind upon him. And never forget nor neglect him because what he has done for us. He never asked us too much for us. He never asked us too much in sense what to do to this world and set forth in this world. What an honor, what a privilege it is that is far above what any angel could ever do. Never was one angel ever that lost was able to win them back to the Lord. Not one time did God set up a method where an angel that fell with Lucifer could ever be won back to the Lord. Every one of those millions of angels, a third of the heavenly host, have no hope since they fell. But when he made Adam and set procreation, he didn't make us all at the same time, but he made up a way that even he knew an Adam would fall, we could be redeemed back. What a privilege. What if he'd have said, all right, I'll just tell you this. I'll let Adam start the process, and I'll wait 6,000 years to just see how many will just follow me. We'd all end up in hell. Because there's nothing we could have done to justify ourselves before God. Well, aren't you glad? What a privilege. He loved you. He was willing to die for you. God is so wonderful. What an honor. No angel has ever had the privilege to be one to the Lord that fell. And today, I am a senior adult. I thank God for helping me in my life down through the years to serve him. Times to make decisions as a young man, hard to make, not knowing what the end would be, and have to tip out by faith and do some things that most people said, hey, you're just off your mind, you're out of your mind, all those things claimed ever. Hey, I don't think there may be something, but I don't know of anything the day that I've been claimed, that someone claims I ain't already been claimed. Because I live long enough to now to tell you, you can't serve God and come out not being better than when you started. You may cry something, you may weep something, you may go through some trials that we talked about, but I want you to know God will see to the end that we're blessed more so than ever because we walk with him in the midst of the troubles and trials we face. And I'm sure that I have less days now to serve him than I had when I started in the past. But I thank God Almighty, and remember is not only for the youth, but for the elders also. Why should I remember? Because God said for me to. That's enough for me. Right? Why? God said for me to. So I need to find out. 8 things I know he said I can remember him for. I know what communion is when he talks about remembering. And so now I say to you this morning, remember thy Creator, wherever you're at. When you're young, your mind is stronger. You find that everything is fresh. Memories is better when you get older, you start losing. I read just a few weeks ago that said, if you hadn't started losing your memory by the time you're 60, you will, because by that time you're having brain cells that are dying and never replace themselves. Boy, I had a lot to die in the last 17 years, I tell you that. But I'm telling you, folks, that's when God said, remember. Listen, if God did with your heart, don't be afraid, the younger you are, to step up by faith and serve Him. Because in the end results, you'll find out everything in this world won't matter when you get with Him on the other side. It'll matter just how much we've done for Him. And then again, realize, He may have said, remember they in the days of thy youth. But we need to remember them all the time. Because if you will, you realize He did for you something you couldn't do for yourself. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, help someone today who don't know Christ as Savior. You hear one of the churches, you stream radio, to hear the gospel message. It's the only thing that the Holy Spirit can use to draw someone to the Lamb of God. God, help us exalt Him. Let the world see without Him, there is no hope. Let the world see we can't sing about Him being a sugar daddy in heaven just to cater to our wimps and things. We have to start out, God, be merciful, a sinner. I believe the record you give of your Son. And I reach out by faith as near as I know how. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Holy Spirit, help someone do that today. Help someone who's saved realize God is not asking too much for us to do things that He asks us to do. And Father, one thing is faithfulness. In our day, as our preacher said the other night in one of the services, it amazes me the things that will keep people out of the house of God. Lord, if the rapture would take place right now, the only thing that really matters in this life would be what we did for you. It doesn't mean that you don't bless us to be the work in certain places. Lord, work is necessary. In fact, God created that to begin with in the garden. But work should also be curbed in the center of God's will. And Father, help us understand these last days should be like it was in the early days when we started with you. Fresh, new joy. Looking how we could serve you, asking God to help us. Let us finish like we started, Lord. We may have to adjust because we do. Every one of these things that went, I didn't go through the individual, but every one of these things that you said happens, anybody any age has run through these. They know these things are true. But you're letting us see, when these things begin to arrive at the end of life because of physical death, Lord, we can't do what we could do when those things were not running as fast to the end. Lord, help us understand when things are fresh and new and exciting, when we first learn about what to do is when God can use us the most. And then after a period of time, we realize that we have to adjust. And we don't mind adjusting because whatever adjustment we do, Lord, is going to be, you're going to serve, you're going to use us. Because a person who served you for years is not going to quit serving you just because they have to adjust. We understand what it means to adjust. So help someone see the need to trust Christ today and help us to see the need. Lord, not long before you're going to come and get us, and maybe be looking up and serving you until you come in every place we're at on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.